The appendectomy went well, and she made a speedy recovery. Her private insurance covered more than $20,000 of the bill for the hospital stay, but 6 months later, the VA denied her claim for the roughly $2,500 that remained, putting her in a tough financial situation. She's been appealing ever since.
It's alarming. It's worrisome. Do I hope that it'll make a difference? I do. Am I confident that it will? Not very confident. I'm hopeful that it will create some change for, you know, even not just for myself, but all the other veterans who are impacted.
In one recent six-month period, according to a report from the VA's Office of the Inspector General, the VA left about 17,400 veterans to pay out-of-pocket for emergency medical treatment the government should have covered. The report said between April 1st and September 30th, 2017, veterans who got emergency care at non-VA facilities were forced to pay over $53 million in medical bills they should have never had to pay.
And finally, it was on this day back in 1963 when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivers his I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. For more news, you can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Welcome to another episode of Destination Hockey. But this isn't any old episode. This is my final goodbye to the show I have loved so much. Before we dive into our final episode here on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio Station, we have to go over the live and local weather forecast. Right now, it's interesting weather out. It's mostly cloudy, but if I look up in the sky, it looks like thunderstorms are coming. We have scattered showers tonight. It was raining on my drive here. 59 degrees is the forecast. Tomorrow, it is clear, sunny skies, 81 degrees, a beautiful summer day, which we don't have many left of. Finally, Saturday, it's 80 degrees, sunny again, and Sunday, the clouds come back out, it will be 79 degrees, but no scattered thunderstorms. So, that's all we got for you today with the weather. It's going to be nice after a brief rainstorm tonight. Don't look that far ahead, however. Destination Hockey, for one final time, we'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Played it ahead for Jordan Everly, up for Barzell, and out of the blue coming in. In front, Barzell stops the ball, and it scores!
Pandemonium. Anthony Beauvillier might not put up the most points in the world, but when he does, chaos ensues, and the Islanders have re-signed their young forward to a two-year, $4.2 million contract. And in my opinion, he deserves every penny. Anthony Beauvillier wasn't exactly the star forward the Islanders hoped he would develop into last season. He was up and down the lineup, suiting up on all four lines, but he still managed to score 18 goals and put up 28 points in 81 games. But those aren't just any old 18 goals and 28 points. I think that those numbers, my memories stand out of this season, as we'll get into later. Anthony Beauvillier was a large part of a lot of big goals. You have that big goal against Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup playoffs, round one. You have the big goal against the Columbus Blue Jackets when Anthony Beauvillier almost got them back into that game with his goal, and eventually they won that game. The Islanders need Anthony Beauvillier. And Anthony Beauvillier needs the Islanders, because Beauvillier finally has the chance to take that step. On a two-year bridge deal, it's not the greatest deal for the Islanders, it's not the greatest deal for Beauvillier. It's one of those restricted free agent deals that just has to happen. The money is fine. The Islanders have no cap issues this season. They could have paid him $5 million, it wouldn't have mattered. But for $2.1 million a year, Anthony Beauvillier is testing himself and saying, I'm going to be better than that in 2 years. And he should be. Playing with Jordan Eberle and Matt Barzal has done wonders for him in his career, especially playing with Matt Barzal. Next season, I'm not sure what the lines will shake up as. Matt Barzal and Jordan Eberle have to be together. Jordan Eberle is Matt Barzal's top winger, his winger of the future. They play spectacularly together. I would be shocked if that is not a pairing next season. But on the left side, You have Andres Lee, who played really well with Eberle and Barzal last season, and you have Beauvillier. I want to see at least them try the Beauvillier-Eberle-Barzal line that works so well in the past. They should try it. It doesn't mean they have to roll it out all season, or frankly, it doesn't mean it has to last more than a few games. But that line has chemistry, it has a lot of history, and in my opinion, that line can be a top line for the Islanders. Anthony Beauvillier at $2.1 million might be suiting up as a depth forward, might be lining up on that second or third line, but he has the potential to be so much greater. He was drafted 28th overall in the same year as Matt Barzal. The Islanders traded up into the first round with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they wanted Beauvillier. They coveted him. He's a French kid. He does a lot for the community. He's a good guy. He's a good player. And he was someone who was ready really early. He's not a bust. He's not anything close to that. He's an early bloomer. And now it's time that he takes that bloom into the next level. With Barry Trotz as coach, there are a lot of players on the Islanders that could take a huge step, that could really do things that we've never seen in their career before. And Anthony Beauvillier is one of those players. Put Barzal, Beauvillier, and Eberle together under Barry Trotz, you see 30, 40, 50 points for Anthony Beauvillier. Jordan Eberle, 30 goals, possibly 40. He's someone that can really do wonders for the team. Anthony Beauvillier, I have big hopes for, and I hope he doesn't disappoint. Scott Gomez, the hopes weren't that big, and that was reaffirmed this week. Scott Gomez and the New York Islanders have parted ways. Officially, Scott Gomez chose to leave. He parted ways. He wasn't fired. But it's, of course, the natural reaction, as all bad relationships in the workplace go. Was this forced? Was this recommended? Was this a save your dignity and quit? Scott Gomez and the Islanders were a relationship that failed. Failed miserably. It wasn't that Scott Gomez was a bad coach. It wasn't that Scott Gomez's power play was bad. But it just wasn't a match made to be. The Islanders are done with the Doug Waite and Garth Snow era. Scott Gomez was the lone remaining part of that. When he came to the Islanders, there was promise, there was hope, there was excitement. But now it's clear that this was not the right thing for both sides. The Islanders ranked 29th in the 31-team NHL last season on their power play. There were a lot of underlying advanced statistics that said they should have been a lot better. They were top 10 in a lot of advanced stats, analytics that say they got the puck on net. They ran into some good goaltending. They hit the post a lot. That's true. I can attest to that. But nonetheless, the power play just wasn't working. It really wasn't. So Scott Gomez has to take the blame, has to man up, and he needs to take responsibility. That's what he did. And this was all writing on the wall because Jim Hiller was plucked away from the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Jim Hiller has been the best power play coach in hockey over the last two seasons. He truly has. He is someone that can revitalize a power play. He can do wonders for a team that needs it. Jim Hiller, if I had to guess, will really make the Islanders power play top 15, top 10. I don't want to get into too many numbers because on paper, the Islanders power play isn't that great. But with Jim Hiller leading the way, I have high hopes for the New York Islanders power play, just like I have high hopes for Anthony Beauvillier. And looking back on last season, there were a lot of positives. And all this Islanders talk has really gotten me thinking about something I haven't done on the show yet this summer. The Islanders had a fantastic, historic, memorable season, and I attended almost every game. I was at school on Long Island on the same block as the Nassau Coliseum, and being there, being at games, was one of my favorite memories of the school year, and the Islanders really made it a memory because of their sensational play. I want to rank the top five games from last season, and I want to just take a deep dive into all these memories. This is the last episode of Destination Hockey. We'll be getting emotional later in the broadcast. We'll be reminiscing on all of our old interviews, every single one. So you want to stay tuned for that. But until then, let's go over the top five Islanders games from last season. Coming in at number five, this one isn't one that many would expect, but these are the games that I was at. These are the games that stuck out in my head. I don't really have any notes on this. I'm just kind of reading the games, reading the dates, which I memorized because they're just so profound memories in my head. But these memories just came naturally to me. They made me so happy to be at the game. They made me so proud to be an Islander fan. And it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen to be at these five games. And this one It's not your classic comeback. It's not your classic Nassau Coliseum atmosphere, but it was a classic in its own right. Josh Bailey had a great season last year. He was someone that was a product of John Tavares. He got overpaid. He was paid too early. But Josh Bailey really picked up the slack, proved the haters wrong, and is he an elite winger? It's a joke. People say he is, but he's not as far off as many people think. Bailey scored a shorthanded goal in the second period in this game. Bailey doesn't play a lot on the shorthanded man disadvantage, but Josh Bailey's a good player, and he could really emerge into a role next season on all sides of the ice. He could be a potential future captain, assistant captain. He has been here for so long, one of the longest tenured Islanders. Josh Bailey proved so many things to me this game, and I love Josh Bailey. He's a good player. I also love Thomas Greiss, and in this game, Greiss made 29 saves. The Islanders swept a home-and-home with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and this was the game where everyone kind of realized the Islanders are legit. Not in the NHL world. It wasn't like the San Jose Sharks fan was casually saying, yeah, the Islanders are legit. But the Islanders fans knew. The Islanders fan base knew this team is special. And that was proved in overtime. Sidney Crosby steals the puck off a Matt Barzal turnover, and he's skating down the ice. He has a breakaway. It's Sidney Crosby versus Thomas Greiss. Crosby starts to dilly-dally, dangle a little bit, and Thomas Greiss, in one of the most definitive goaltending situations I have ever seen, poke-checks the puck away. Brendan Burke's call reigns true in my head. He yells, the puck is poke-checked away. Butch Goren goes on a rant about how Matt Barzal is the luckiest player on the ice. This was a really good game. This was a really good memory. And Thomas Greiss, in that play, reaffirmed to Islanders fans, whether it's Robin Leonard, Thomas Greiss, Lucas Spezza, Thomas Hickey, whoever's on the ice, the Islanders are legit. The Islanders, they both had 15 points at this point, atop the Metropolitan Division, but the Islanders were 5-0 against their division foes. And that dominance against the Metropolitan Division was one of the reasons why the Islanders did so well. Robin Leonard was another reason, and the former Sabre made 31 saves to improve to 24-12-5 on March 30th against the Buffalo Sabres, his old team. And this game wasn't any ordinary game. It was a shutout. It was a really dominant performance. Adam Pellick had a few good plays. Leo Komarov with an assist. Everyone chipping in. The unexpected heroes. But after this game is where the memory stands out. The Islanders clinch a playoff spot. And Robin Leonard is the first star of the game. He enters the ice. He comes out. And oh my God, is the crowd cheering his name. I have never heard a better crowd. I have never heard one person being idolized more in my life. And Robin Leonard deserves it. He truly does. As the crowd was chanting Leonard, Robin Leonard goes on a profanity-laced rant, which was one of the most natural, amazing moments from an athlete, and yells, playoffs, baby. Playoffs, effing right. And this moment signified the Islanders are going to the playoffs. In a year where they were pegged to finish last, the New York Islanders were going to the playoffs, and Robin Leonard, the Swedish netminder, who went through substance abuse, mental illness, alcohol rehab, he was the leader. Robin Leonard, in this moment, made a name for himself on Long Island and cemented himself as a legend. A player who could have cemented himself as a legend, that was John Tavares. And on February 28th, this game took the NHL world by storm. The crowd was unbelievable. The game was supposed to be at Barclays Center, but in one of the smartest decisions the Islanders could have ever made, they moved it to Nassau Coliseum, and the crowd was crazy. There were some bad moments where fans were throwing stuff at John Tavares, snakes were on the ice, but there were some good moments where the crowd combined to some fantastic chants. It's past, what's your bedtime, we don't need you, traitor, a lot of curse words, but again, this moment, Islanders fans moved on. And you might think they haven't yet. You might think John Tavares still lives rent-free in the back of every Islanders fan's head. But this night really proved everything to me. The Islanders lost John Tavares, and it was a good thing. Because when Casey Cizikas scored twice, when Anders Lee, Anthony Beauvillier, Valtteri Filppula, Brock Nelson also scored, this game proved to me that the Islanders didn't need John Tavares. And that was a fantastic sight. One thing they did need, however, was Nassau Coliseum, and at the Coliseum, the Islanders returned on December 1st to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Islanders were energized by a crowd that I have never seen before. This was an insane atmosphere, And once again, Casey Cizikas scores a huge tie-breaking goal in the third period. The Islanders go on to beat the Blue Jackets, but this wasn't about what happened on the ice. It was about the arena that it took place in. The Nassau Coliseum on this day reaffirmed itself as the home of the New York Islanders. For more than 3.5 years, the Islanders played at Barclays Center and other arenas throughout the NHL, but they returned home on this night, and it was a beautiful sight. But the most beautiful sight, the most best fantastic game I attended last year, that was Islanders-Penguins, April 12th, Game 2 of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Jordan Eberle was on an absolute tear at this point. He was a potential Conn Smythe winner if he would have kept its play up through the rest of the postseason if the Islanders moved on. But Jordan Eberle did something that I've never seen before. He was dominant. He was the best player on the ice the entire game, and he scored the tie-breaking goal in the third period. It was a 3-1 victory, and Anthony Beauvillier, that goal that I played on the top of the broadcast, that goal was scored in this game, and it got the Islanders on the board after an Erik Gudbranson goal. This tally, this moment, signified the Islanders were more than a team. They were a brotherhood. When Matt Barzal was getting the crap beaten out of him after that goal, the Islanders didn't celebrate. They went to go fight for their brother. And in this moment, it was more than a team. It was more than this feeling of on the ice. It was the locker room. It was the atmosphere. It was the camaraderie. And it was the brotherhood. Eberle gives the Islanders the 2-1 lead. 7 minutes, 54 seconds left. It was Matt Barzal, Jordan Eberle, Josh Bailey. It was a show. And Robin Lehner also contributed. He was fantastic. And this game, when the buzzer sounded, you knew something special was happening. And the season didn't end as we would have all liked. But in this moment, this was the Islanders Stanley Cup. The Islanders proved everyone wrong this season. It was a monumental year, and I am so proud to have been able to witness it and so happy to have seen it all unfold live. That's all I got on my top five games of the season and our Islanders coverage. When we return, I'm really excited to do what I'm about to do. I've done a lot of interviews. I've done a lot of episodes on Destination Hockey, 42 to be exact. We're going to dive into almost every single one of them, analyze every single interview, and talk about my favorite moments on Destination Hockey. From the destination for all things hockey, we will be right back.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Everybody over there,
get on up.
Everybody right there,
get into it.
Everybody right there,
get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey. Destination Hockey is the title of the show, but it has grown into so much more. It is the umbrella under which I have talked to almost 50 guests in the hockey world and done some really good things for my career, for this station, and hopefully for the listeners at home. It's been an honor to be on Destination Hockey, but I want to go back into the past for a second because during my time here, we have interviewed some pretty huge guests. And we've only got 30 minutes here, but I want to go back and talk about every single one, provide my own take on my memories with these guests, and really just summarize and conclude a chapter of my life. Episode 1, Season 1, January 2018, Islanders radio broadcaster Chris King joins the show. I'm scared out of my mind. It's my first ever time on air. I drive here. I get to the show. I'm waiting for my turn. I get in. I don't know how to use anything. I completely freak out. I gave Chris King the phone number to this radio show. I don't know if you guys have noticed on our Facebook live streams, I call everyone every episode. So that was obviously not a recipe for success. We freak out. We don't know how to do it. So we go through all these movements, the host before stays after to help, but the show must go on. After emailing Chris King, calling him, and getting things together, we start the show 15 minutes late. And with Chris King, one of my idols, someone who has been a role model for me in the field, someone who helped me end up at Hofstra University, I was nervous. Not just because it was my first interview, but this was someone that I've looked up to my whole life. And the show didn't go great. There was technology issues, my questions weren't good, and I wasn't really happy with it. But this was the first of many to come. I realized that I would get better, and this was a moment where my career took off, and I'm very thankful for that. Let's skip on to episode 4, our next interview, and that was with Jim Bomback. And I want to highlight Jim a little bit because he's been a mentor for me. Jim showed up at Hofstra University one day to teach a class. And this class was something that I never really expected at Hofstra because he shows up, he's an idol for me. I obviously attend the class, and he's teaching us about FOIL requests. And FOIL requests, there are such things as public records. And public records, I don't know if you know, but any municipality, any government, you can submit a FOIL request, and within 60 days, someone will send you a document, whatever you request. Do you want to know how much your mayor makes? Do you want to know his emails? Do you want to know all this cool stuff? Well, you submit a FOIL request, and Jim Bomback taught us how to do it. And this led to my greatest article on Drive for Five, which I talked about extensively on Destination Hockey, talking about why the Islanders should not return to Barclays Center. We added up the numbers. We added up the math. And unfortunately, that article didn't come to fruition. But using FOIL requests, Jim Bomback really helped progress my career. Episode 5, Sean Leahy and Neil Best join the show, and these are two really interesting stories. This episode was on Valentine's Day, so this was an episode where it was 5 to 6 p.m., this is prime date time, and you want to know what these two guys do. They give up their time to come on the show. Neil Best actually skipped a date. He put his date on hold with his wife to come on the show, and Sean Leahy called from the Olympics in South Korea. If that doesn't go to show you the dedication, the sacrifice, the passion that these journalists have to come on the show, to progress the youth, to really help out everyone in the field, I don't know what does, because two really good guests, there were technology issues, there were a lot of problems with my questions, this show wasn't my best, but two good people gave up the time on a holiday that was important to them to come onto my show, and that's the type of sacrifice these guys make. Episode 6, this was one of my first shows by myself. I was scared. I was nervous. I was going to have to talk for an hour, which at this time was something I never thought I could do. And it was the trade deadline special. And the Islanders traded Jason Chimera for Chris Wagner and a third round pick for Brandon Davidson. It's tough to stay positive with those decisions being made, but I had to do it. And this was a sad day for the Islanders faithful. But you have to separate yourself from an Islanders fan and as a journalist. This was an old regime. Garth Snow and Doug Waite, I knew, I sensed they would be gone soon. So you have to really stay positive. It wasn't the best decision for the Islanders. It wasn't a good one. It wasn't enough. And a lot of negatives came from this, including the eventual demise of those two men. But you have to stay positive. You have to recognize that as a journalist, it's not your place to critique moves. It's not your place to be negative. Stay positive. And I try to do that in this show. Episode 7 with Patrick Dowd, a.k.a. Sign Guy. You want to talk about positivity. Patrick Dowd is the epitome of positivity. And on this episode, he came onto the show and said, John Tavares will re-sign. The Coliseum is the true home of the New York Islanders. And he was just so positive. John Tavares eventually didn't re-sign, but Patrick's positivity throughout the whole process really inspired the Islanders fan base. He made a lot of appearances on Destination Hockey, and they were the most listened to ones yet because the fan base, our Drive for Five community, the Islanders community, really grew attached to Patrick's message of positivity. Positivity is really important. It's important for everyone, for teams, for fans, for players. And by Patrick expressing this positivity, even though deep down he probably knew something was up with John Tavares, he did something that provided wonders for the Islanders community, and that is valuable. Episode 8, Justin Bourne. He is a son of a former Islander. He does a lot of things for the community. He's very active. And one thing we talked about towards the end of this interview was Hockey is for Everyone, an initiative the NHL was putting forth. I just want to talk about the NHL for a second because I'm passionate about hockey, and I think you guys have been able to sense that so far. But with the National Hockey League, it's a league that does a ton for the community. Whether it's an individual player like Matt Martin hosting a hockey camp for kids, or whether it's the NHL as a whole running these initiatives, the NHL does a lot for the community. And they don't just do PR stunts where they look like they do a lot. The NHL makes impacts. They really change lives. Robin Lehner is an example of that. We've talked about him throughout the show. Robin Lehner has literally saved people's lives. There have been people out there that I know that have been thinking about doing the unthinkable. Robin Lehner saved them. Robin Lehner has done so many great things for the community. A lot of players have done so many great things for the community. The NHL is special in that regard. There are other leagues out there. They like to do the whole, we're doing great things, but really they're just putting money to get some PR rep. The NHL actually makes impacts on people's lives, and that's why I'm so passionate about it. Episode 9, Shannon Hogan. Shannon Hogan was one of my inspirations. She was so cool to talk to. I was shocked that she wanted to come on the show. It was a networking experience for me because Shannon Hogan isn't someone that you could just message on Twitter or message on Instagram. She's too big for that. So I had to go to her at a game on February 9th against the Detroit Red Wings. It was a fantastic game. The Islanders had that comeback. They did it before the San Jose Sharks did it. They were the first ones to have the four-goal, five-minute major and win the game in overtime. Shannon Hogan, after that game, had a lot to worry about. She was interviewing Matt Barzal. She was doing so much. But you give her your business card. You ask, hey, I do this radio show. Would you like to come on? She emails you back, and you plan an episode. Shannon Hogan stays positive. Shannon Hogan does a great job. She was pregnant last year and did the job dealing with a lot of things off the ice and off the job. Shannon Hogan is a true professional, and it was an honor to speak to her. Episode 10, Paul Stewart. This one was one I was really excited for because Paul Stewart isn't your normal journalist, isn't your normal ex-player, isn't your normal broadcaster. Paul Stewart has officiated 1,010 NHL games, and he's the most successful American official of all time. This was cool. This isn't something anyone could say, that you talk to one of the greatest NHL referees of all time, because it just doesn't happen. NHL referees are private personalities. They don't really do interviews. They don't have a personality off the ice. They go, they do their job, and they go home to their families. And that's what I want to highlight. NHL referees just want to do the best job possible and want to go home to their families after a long year of traveling. The lack of respect that NHL referees have is disgraceful. They make the wrong calls occasionally, and this playoff showed that. It was not good, and a lot of refs made big mistakes. But at the end of the day, they're family men. They care about what they do, and they just want what's for the best. Episode 11 with Andrew Gross. Andrew has been one of my role models in journalism. He's a writer. He's a newspaper reporter, something that I want to go into. It's a tough field, but he does it the best I've seen anyone do it. And Andrew Gross has highlighted and covered Joshua Hosang's demotion at this time. This was in mid-2018, and at this time, Joshua Hosang was the blame game. He was getting blamed for the Islanders' lack of defense, their defensive woes. Joshua Hosang is a good player. He's a good guy, and he's someone that I really care about because he's someone that does a lot of good things for the Islanders. However, he has gotten himself into a lot of trouble, and Joshua Hosang needs another chance. Andrew Gross has covered it. Arthur Staple has covered it extensively. Joshua Hosang has got his one-year olive branch contract. Will he be able to succeed? Episode 12 with Sean Grandy. We talked basketball in this episode. It's destination hockey, but Sean Grandy has some history with the Islanders, and he's a diverse journalist. He is a good person. He made the time. We did an hour interview, and he talked about his career. He talked about how he got to where he was. And he's with the Boston Celtics, but he's been diverse in his past. And by doing that, he's been able to make his way to the top, been able to reach the pinnacle of journalism, and that is what people should be striving for all throughout the field. Episode 13, the Tom Wilson special. Tom Wilson's a dangerous man. Joshua Hosang, ironically, posted a picture on Instagram today of him hanging out with Tom Wilson. That's just shocking. Not even going to have time to touch on that. But Tom Wilson, at this time, was the fear, the scared factor. Everyone was scared of him in the National Hockey League, and that needs to be removed. My sister just got a concussion today. It's a scary thing. It really is. And Tom Wilson has made it his goal to give as many players concussions as possible. He's a cheap shot artist. He is not a good player, in my opinion, in that regard. I hope he gets his act together because he got suspended for 20 games. If it happens again, his career could be in jeopardy. Episode 14, guess who's back? It's Patrick Dowd, a.k.a. Sign Guy. And this episode was interesting because we talked about the history of the New York Islanders. We talked about how amazing this organization is, and we talked about the past, just like we're doing right now. And one thing I want to talk about, Al Arbor, Radar, the Islanders, architect, the great coach that led the Islanders to four Stanley Cups. He passed away 4 years ago today. So just my tributes, my thoughts and prayers to his family. Al Arbor did a lot for the hockey community. He did a lot for the Islanders community, and it's a shame that he is gone. Episode 15, Sean Shapiro joined the show, and he is a reporter for the Dallas Stars. And we talked Tyler Seguin. And the Dallas Stars, after this episode, signed center Tyler Seguin to an 8-year contract worth $78.8 million. That's an average of $9.85 million per year. And I want to highlight it because Shapiro said how important it is for Seguin to get locked up. And he's right. It is important. When you have a restricted free agent, when you have an unrestricted free agent, getting that player locked up is crucial because these contract situations can really get bad and ugly fast. Shapiro was right. Seguin should have been locked up, and he was. Episode 16 with Patrick Dowd. He's back again. And this time, Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz were hired. This was a monumental pivot for the Islanders franchise. They went from a laughingstock to being respected again. Patrick Dowd highlighted this. It was a beautiful moment. It was a wonderful day. It was a great episode. And Patrick Dowd, he's been on the show a lot, but at this moment, he was the happiest I've heard him. Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz coming in, that is unprecedented, and the Islanders managed to do it. Episode 17, Colin Stevenson, Rangers reporter for Newsday, joined me. And at this time, the Rangers were bad. They were not a good hockey team. But we talked about this with Colin Stevenson, and at the time, he was positive. And positive he should have been because the Rangers have executed one of the most perfect rebuilds I have ever seen. They've done wonders for their community, done wonders for the team. And Colin Stevenson was positive, just like everyone else. And the Rangers, they committed to the future. They sent a letter out to their fans. They were transparent. Colin Stevenson was a good guest. He was a great person to talk to, but he stayed positive, and that's an example of staying positive paying off. Episode 18, Corey Mazzaia comes on, and he talks about the Devils' offseason. Devils are another team. They weren't good at the time, but now they're on the up and coming. He was a great guest to talk about because he highlighted potential future moves, and if he was on the show right now, I guarantee you he wouldn't have dreamt of the things that would unfold. Jack Hughes, Wayne Simmonds, and PK Subban are now members of the New Jersey Devils. Arthur Staple joined me on episode 19, and he said something here that really stuck with me, and I remember to this day. He said, if the Islanders have the opportunity at next year's trade deadline to get a first-round pick and a B-level prospect for Anders Lee, how could you say no? And I don't want to call out Arthur Staple here. He's been a really great guest and someone I've looked up to, but this just goes to show how times have changed, because there was a time where Anders Lee was just another role player, a depth scorer, and there was a time where he could have been traded for pennies on the dollar. Now he's the Islanders' captain. He's someone that is invaluable to the team, and there would never even be a thought of him being traded. That just goes to show how important he's been for the team and the strides he has made. Episode 19 with Brendan Burke, he's an example of a true professional, someone in the industry that has done good things for himself, and he had a quote that stick with me to this day as well. He said, I want to get to the highest level I can. To the Islanders fans listening, that might shock you. Yes, Brendan Burke may not be with MSG for his whole life, but just him giving the Islanders a chance, coming to Long Island, coming to Brooklyn, and broadcasting Islanders games for as long as he does, however long that may be, before he moves on to NBC, lacrosse, or whatever his future holds. Brendan Burke's a true professional, one of the best in the industry, and he is an example of someone who just wants to reach the top. Episode 21, Jakub Skar comes on the show. And Sark is a American goalie prospect now because he is coming over from the European region in hockey to play for the New York Islanders minor league team. Talking to him was cool. He was just drafted, and he's an amazing young kid. Look for him to be an Islanders goalie sometime in the future. Episode 22, Tammy Williams, an arena protester, comes on the show, and unfortunately for her, her cause did not succeed. But in my opinion, and this might be a hot take, but I think it did succeed. The arena's happening. Belmont Park is being built. They are cutting down trees. They are building the arena as we speak right now. But there was compromise made. There was a lot of things that went into the arena, like a full-time Long Island Railroad facility paid for by the New York Islanders and their owners, that is going to limit traffic, limit the games being cut off to the public, limit her neighborhood from being confiscated. I think that's admirable, and that's something that truly should be respected. Moving on to episode 23, Noah Dobson and Stan Fischler come on the show. This was a jam-packed episode, and it just goes to show the progress of destination hockey. Being able to talk to probably the most respected hockey journalist of all time in Stan Fischler and top Islanders prospect Noah Dobson in one show, that says a lot about destination hockey. Being able to talk to those two people was a true honor, and I'm really excited to have said that those two people were guests on my show. Episode 24, Mark Barbar comes on the show, and this was a local episode. This was about the local impact of the community and roller skating hockey. He gave me a jersey that I still wear today. He advertised his business. He got me soup when my wisdom teeth were removed. This was a good guy, and it just goes to show how hockey brings people together. No matter on or off the ice, hockey is something that people can be connected by. Episode 25, Satira Shaw and Chris King. And I want to highlight Satira Shaw here because he talked about Daniel and Henrik Sedin. This felt like my most natural interview I've had. Talking to someone who was so respected, did TV, yet so knowledgeable, it was a conversation. It wasn't an interview, and I can't say that about every interview I have. This was really cool. It was a taste into history. It was a taste into the past and a taste into the future. I really liked this episode. It was one of my favorites, and you don't talk about the Vancouver Canucks every day, but when you do, it's nice to have such a natural and fantastic conversation. Episode 26 with Bob Wage and Matthew DeFranks. And I want to highlight DeFranks here because he, in one season, went from covering the Florida Panthers to covering the Dallas Stars. Mid-season, he had to adapt on the job. He had to go from Florida to Dallas. And that's important because it goes to show the ever-movement in the industry that you can't ever be satisfied. You always have to be looking for the next big step. And whether that's Florida, Dallas, Des Moines, Iowa, or the middle of Kansas, you have to be willing to adapt in this industry, and that's something that everyone going into it needs to know. Episode 27 with Ryan Stimson, that's next. And Kyle Aposo was a topic of conversation here. Health first, and that is something I want to highlight here because Kyle Aposo has struggled with concussions, eye injuries, and the head. And the head's important. And Kyle Aposo took time off, he got himself straight, and he is back and playing good hockey again. Thoughts go out to Kyle Aposo. I'm glad he's finally back. And that was a topic of this episode. Two more of the first season of Destination Hockey. Episode 28 comes in next. Patrick Dowd, Alex Thomas. Patrick Dowd is back once again for the final time this season. And this time we talked about John Tavares leaving. Can Patrick stay positive following Tavares' decision? And the answer wasn't as many people expected. It was no. It was yes, obviously. Patrick will stay positive regarding the Islanders, regarding Lou Lamoriello, regarding Barry Trotz, regarding John Tavares even. But one thing that he did highlight was he's not going to stay positive when talking about how much pain and how John Tavares' decision was not done correctly. And that's respectful because Patrick always has the most respectful, positive opinions. And you can stay positive about everything. But it's okay to recognize when someone does something wrong. And Patrick did that with John Tavares. And finally, the last episode of Season 1 of Destination Hockey, James Duffy and Arthur Staple joined the show. James Duffy was such a cool guest to talk to because this man led the billboard movement. He was the one who started a GoFundMe to build a literal billboard to get Garth Snow and Doug Waite, Garth Snow specifically, removed from the Islanders organization, and it worked. It literally worked. James Duffy, it goes to show how fans have such an impact on this game, how when the fans are happy, the team is happy, and how when the team is happy, the fans are happy. It's an everlasting, always relationship that contends on each other. This was a good episode because it went to go interviewing a fan. It went to say something about the other side. How do fans play an impact on the game? Well, they could actually influence front office decisions. So, episode 1 through 29, they were good, and I was really happy with the progress, but looking back on it, I didn't think my interviewing skills were the best. I didn't think that the show was the best. So season 2, I made it my goal to improve upon my first season, and that started off in the emergency room. Episode 1 with Randy Hahn was not supposed to be the first episode of the season. The first episode was supposed to be with Darren Millard, and I elbowed a door. So there was a locked door here. I didn't handle that situation appropriately. I tried to kind of push my body into the door. The glass was weak, and my elbow went right through the door. 7 stitches later, in the emergency room I am. The first show's over. Darren Millard's texting me, yo, what's up? Why didn't you call me? What happened in the interview? But it went to show that sometimes things don't go your way. And if this is the definition of things not going your way, I'm okay with that, because this was literally the craziest thing that has happened in my life. But it happened, and you have to move on. So Randy Hahn comes on the show next week. Oh, that was a crazy interview, because last time you were supposed to be on air, you were in the emergency room, but it went well, and I was really happy to start off the season on that note. In episode 2 with Josh Yowie, Phil Kessel was the highlight of conversation. I really liked this one. This one was really cool, because Phil Kessel is an enigma. He's someone in the hockey world that not everyone knows about. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they don't love him. They didn't love him, but they recognized his skill on the ice. So they weren't just going to waive him. They weren't just going to release him. The man puts up a point per game. He's an 80-point player. How can you let that go? But his work ethic, his personality, it butted with Mike Sullivan. It butted with Jim Rutherford. It butted with the Pittsburgh Penguins organization as a whole. And Josh Yowie held nothing back in this interview. This wasn't news at the time, but he told us that he actually nixed a trade for Jason Zucker. So Phil Kessel was going to be going to Minnesota along with other players for Jason Zucker. And this was unbelievable to hear this, because for one of the first times, there was a legitimate scoop on Destination Hockey. Josh Yowie actually broke a story that he was working on, all for this show. Again, journalists, the people in this industry, says a lot. It says a lot that someone comes on a little show like this with a 19-year-old and breaks a story, because at this time, it wasn't broken yet. Josh Yowie, a fantastic interview, a great role model, a Pittsburgh legend. He comes to Hunterdon County, comes on the show. What a fantastic interview. In episode 3, once again, for the final time on this show, Patrick Dowd joins me. We talked about the Islanders. We talked about Artemi Panarin. We talked about the year prior. We talked about some good games. But most importantly, Patrick Dowd is a monumental icon in the Islanders fan base. He's an icon in the community, and I've gotten to know him quite well this season. A personal thank you goes out to him. I sat with him at a lot of games. He welcomed me into his tailgating family at Hofstra University. There's no one to go tailgate with. I don't have a grill. I have a college dorm room that's the size of a closet, and I didn't have the opportunity to really find a home on the community. But what I did find was Patrick Dowd, and he gave me that home. He gave me the Islanders fandom that I really never experienced before. He welcomed me with open arms to almost every game. I sat with him front row. He gave me the opportunity to experience the Islanders' historic season firsthand. So thank you to Patrick Dowd for that. Thank you for the open invitation to tailgate. Thank you for everything you've done. And most importantly, thank you for coming on the show, because your episodes, Patrick's episodes, were the most listened to. They were consistently what got the fan base, what got the Islanders and Drive for Five community most excited. Patrick Dowd did some great things for this show, so a thank you goes out to him. Episode 4 is next, and Sean McIndoe joined me. Sean isn't someone that I really knew before the interview, but I reached out to him after finding some Twitter information on him. Down Goes Brown, and that's why, because he goes by an alias, and I wasn't aware of that, but he's a legend. And talking to him, talking about all the myths of restricted free agents, talking about all the myths of the hockey world, adding some comedy into an interview. It was fun. It was a cool interview, and I was really honored to have him on the show, and I was also honored to speak to Darren Millard. We've talked about him twice now. We talked about him when I elbowed the door, and now we're talking now. But Darren Millard rescheduled with me. He was so understanding. He's a dad. He realizes what I went through. And he was so open. He was so nice and caring. He was texting me how I'm doing. Darren Millard's a really good guy. He's a TV icon. And Sportsnet and other TV companies out there, they're making cuts right now. But Darren Millard was always one of the originals, always one of the legends in the field. Being able to talk to him was special. And he also had an interesting take about Robin Lehner. It wasn't a fact. It wasn't a scoop per se, but it was his opinion. And Robin Lehner was such an amazing person. We've talked about him so much. But Robin Lehner, the mental health stigma, Darren Millard has also spoken on that in the past. It's a tough thing, and it's something that needs to be rewritten. And Robin Lehner and Darren Millard both showed that. Episode 5, Felix Bibeau, Jonas Siegel come on the show. Felix Bibeau is a humble kid. He represents perseverance. 2 years prior, he was not drafted. He was undrafted. He went back to juniors. He kept fighting and playing on Noah Dobson's team. While the Islanders were there scouting Noah, potentially, Felix scored some game-winning goals, scored some huge moments for his team, and he earned himself a spot on the New York Islanders. Humble, as I said, perseverance, as I said. Felix is one of those fourth-line players in the future that I could see really making a role. Right now, he's in that scoring role, but he's a hard worker. He's a physical player. It would not surprise me if Felix is in 2-3 years on the New York Islanders in a third, fourth-line role, just getting there because of his hard work and his determination. There are players like that in the NHL, and he would not surprise me if he's next. Episode 6 with Brendan Burke. Brendan Burke has come on the show before, but at this time, Brendan Burke was so busy with the Premier Lacrosse League, the PLL. But you know what he does? I email him. I say, hey, can you come on the show? And he rightfully so responds, I'm completely swamped right now. I'll get back to you in a few months. Most people and journalists, they're great. I've had so many great guests on this show. Most of them, when they say the I'll get back to you in a few months, it means give them their space. It's a no. Brendan Burke, 2 months later, actually sends me an email at 11 p.m. at night. Hey, I was thinking about you. When do you want to do the interview? My schedule has eased up. Talk about someone who just cares about the youth. Talk about someone who cares about journalism and just cares about the people he encounters. He's a great guest. He's a great broadcaster. Who knows where he will end up? But that's an anecdote. That's a story that I want to highlight because Burke did not have to do that. He's completely swamped. He's probably on air right now broadcasting a lacrosse game or a hockey game or whatever he does. He does so much. But when he's back with the Islanders and you're listening to Brendan Burke, just savor it. Just be appreciative that after Howie Rose left and the Islanders were looking at a lot of potential people, they went outside the box. And when Brendan Burke's name was announced as the next announcer, a lot of people were like, who's this guy? But little do they know, he'd become one of the best journalists, the best broadcaster in the field. And hot take here, it would not surprise me if when Doc Emmerich's time comes, and when Doc Emmerich unfortunately retires, getting up there in age, if Brendan Burke is the next Doc Emmerich. I think that is a possibility. Brendan Burke is that good. He's that humble. He's that personable. He's that talented. Brendan Burke, big things coming for him. I'm excited to see him grow as a broadcaster. Episode 7, Neil Sheehy comes on the show. And this was a cool guest because he's an ex-NHL player. He made the number 00 famous, but he's also a really good agent. He's a doctor. But I want to highlight Anders Lee because he dove, and I mean dove, headfirst into Anders Lee contract, told us everything there was to know, depicted a story that has many parts, and went to show that while these media members are great, sometimes they're wrong, and they were in the case of Anders Lee. A lot of people thought Anders Lee did not want to be with the Islanders, that he was looking at Montreal, Chicago, other teams with a lot of cap space, but Anders Lee was just doing his due diligence and looking at other teams to see what he could get. Anders Lee always wanted to be an Islander. Always. That did not waver when the Islanders were going after Artemi Panarin. That did not waver when the Islanders were going after Sergei Bobrovsky. Anders Lee was waiting on the side, debating that 7th year. The Islanders wanted to go 6 years. Anders Lee wanted 7 years. He would compromise at some point if Artemi Panarin was signed. Neil hinted at that. But Anders Lee wants to be an Islander. He wanted to be in the blue and orange for the rest of his career. And that says a lot about the Islanders captain. If your faith in him is ever wavering, Anders Lee is a good guy. Neil Sheehy confirmed that. Then episode 9, Rob Schremp, Murat Ateş come on the show. Math meets storytelling. Math meets storytelling. In my career, that is what I want to combine. I love math. I'm a tutor on Hofstra's campus where I tutor a lot of kids in the community. And math is something that I loved throughout my entire life, and I didn't want to give it up. So while journalism is my passion, well, that's what I love doing, I can also love math. And math is really cool. I really like it. I like helping others. I like the thought process. I like arriving at a destination. That's a good pun, destination hockey. But nonetheless, I like that fact about math. I love that. And Murat Ateş is an example of someone who was the same way. He thinks that just because you're good at math in high school, just because you like math, doesn't mean that you're a nerd, doesn't mean that you have to abandon it to go into the business world or the journalism world. He showed that you can do both, and his journalism style is math meets storytelling, and that's admirable. That's really cool, and while talking with Rob Schremp was really cool, that was another great part about that show. My takeaway from that was math meets storytelling, and that's something that I hope to really just encompass in the future of my career. Episode 10, Brandon Crawley and Jeremy Rutherford. Brandon Crawley is a really cool kid. I like Brandon Crawley because he's a local kid. He's from Glen Rock, New Jersey. He's a Rangers defenseman who was drafted in the fourth round, I believe, and he's a big physical kid who wants to keep physicality in hockey. Brandon Crawley, he comes on the show. He talks about his future goals. He's going to be one of those fringe Rangers players who might make the team or might not. Last year, he was the last cut of training camp. This year, he hopes to squeeze into camp as a sixth or seventh defenseman, and I only wish him the best. As an Islanders fan, sometimes you might not want the Rangers to do well, but in the case of Brandon Crawley, there's nothing I want more. And finally, episode 11, our last episode prior to this one, where Noah Dobson joined the show. Noah Dobson, I am telling you right now, is one of the most talented kids there is, one of the most humble kids there is. He's a 40-year-old in a 20-year-old's body. He's three days, older than I am. He's 19, excuse me. Noah Dobson is just such a prolific individual, such a talent. I cannot see a world where Noah Dobson doesn't succeed. I cannot see a world where Noah Dobson does not succeed. The future is bright for him. I'm excited to see where he goes, just like a lot of these guests. A lot of these guests we talk to are famous. A lot of them are more low-key local names, but all of them did something for me that I'll always be thankful for. They gave up 30 minutes of their day, in some case an hour, in some case 15 minutes, but all of them gave up time to join me on the show, and that's really admirable of them. That's really kind. We talked to over 50 guests on the show. I'll savor every single one of them, so I hope you enjoyed that summary of all of our guests. From the destination for all things hockey, we will be right back with our final goodbye.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Goodbyes are hard, but they are hard for a reason. When you do something for so long and love it so much, bidding farewell is an immensely difficult task, and that is where I stand today. After 42 episodes, I must say goodbye to something that has shaped me as a person, Destination Hockey. This show has done so much for me that it can barely be put into words. However, I will give it my best shot. 2 years ago, I did not know what I wanted to do. I would lay in my bed at night, scared of the future, not knowing what was to come. I liked math, I liked business, and I liked writing. But that does not lead to a career. My future started to take shape with this show. It was a pure coincidence, At an award ceremony, I walked up to Chris Bianco and asked a question about audio equipment. A perfect wave ensued, and a week later, I was interviewing to have my very own radio show. That conversation, that interaction, saved my life. Because of a few words, my fate was set, and I began to pursue what I love. Life is a delicate thing. In one moment, everything can change. That happened to me, and I am thankful. Throughout the last 2 years, I developed confidence that I never thought I had. Talking for an hour straight is really hard, but I was able to grow as a speaker, journalist, and most importantly, a person. I have developed so many connections. I have talked to over 50 of the brightest minds in the hockey world, all through networking and just being nice. This industry is really special. People want to help each other, and so many people have helped me get to where I am today. Thank you to everyone who has come on the show and helped me grow. And finally, I must thank my backbone. To all of our listeners, I would not be here without you. Your support has allowed me to pursue my dreams, and for that, I am eternally grateful. This show has been a roller coaster, but the ride is coming to an end. From the destination for all things hockey, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for everything.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
...5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies with periods of rain late and a low of 37, winds light and variable. Chance of rain is 100%, rainfall near a quarter of an inch. Cloudy with periods of rain tomorrow, a high of 54, winds south-southwest at 5 to 10. Chance of rain 100%, rainfall near a quarter of an inch. On Sunday, partly cloudy skies in the morning will give way to cloudy skies during the afternoon, a high around 50. That's going to be pretty good for the St. Patrick's Day parade at the town of Clinton. On Monday, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies with periods of rain late and a low of 37, winds light and variable. Chance of rain is 100%, rainfall near a quarter of an inch. Cloudy with periods of rain tomorrow, a high of 54, winds south-southwest at 5 to 10. Chance of rain 100%, rainfall near a quarter of an inch. On Sunday, partly cloudy skies in the morning will give way to cloudy skies during the afternoon, a high around 50. That's going to be pretty good for the St. Patrick's Day parade at the town of Clinton. On Monday, partly cloudy skies and a high of 58. Partly cloudy on Tuesday, 46. Sun and a few clouds on Wednesday. Gusty, though, a high of 45. Winds 20 to 30 miles an hour. Temperatures in our area, 32 in Tewksbury, 30 in Lebanon, 31 in Alexandria, 31 in Raritan, 33 in Hopewell, and 30 in Lambertville. Good morning, Hunterdon. That's Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntChamberRadio.com. That is the voice of Glenn Miller. He is a Grammy Award-winning